WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. It is the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on respite here a little week, so you know you guys can get some turkey and some pumpkin pie a la mode with our friends at Wise Markets and the ice cream as well. We'll get that back out on the road. We're going to be at Fave. There's going to be a Costas in a few weeks celebrating the holidays. All of it brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We had a $20 winner last week at Pappas when we had Mike Bordick stop by, as well as Adam Kolarik, world champion. Didn't wear his Dodgers ring. We'll do that next time. David Steele also stopped by talking about his book. All of it was brought to you by our friends at Goodwill and our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. Make sure you're checking all that stuff out. Books and authors and football season. I tell you what, I could have had Jimmy Johnson on, but I want the real author of the book on swagger. He is one of our defending champions around here. A columnist down in South Florida has written a book with Jimmy Johnson called Swagger. And I think that Miami Dolphins might have a little swagger. He's still on the beat. We welcome Dave Hyde, longtime columnist, back on to talk about books and football and all that good stuff. You know, if I would have Jimmy on, I was going to come down to Isla Mirada, right, and see the fish tank and do all that stuff. I'm assuming that you visited him when you wrote this book. You didn't make him come up to West Palm, right?
Oh, are you kidding? That was the attraction in it, that you get to go down to the Keys and sit with Jimmy, and he'd pop a cold one, and we'd sit there and we'd talk about his life and all the great stories he has building champions at Miami and Dallas. And then, some more, sobering stories really about what it took to get up the mountain and the cost of family life.
Well, he certainly has made some news this week. And give me the genesis of the book. I mean, I've written a couple of books. Usually when the Ravens win championships, I write books. I will not be writing one this year, even if they do win one, because I understand the undertaking and the antisocial, Jack Torrance, all work and no play makes Dave a dull boy. But when did this begin? Because I would think your relationship with Jimmy probably dates back to when he took over the good ship Dolphins down there now 25 years ago.
Actually, I first met Jimmy, my first year here was 85. He was coach of UM, and I remember going out to a UM practice, and he came over to the sideline and started talking for about 10 minutes, and I was just shocked. They were ranked number one or two in the country, that this guy would take time out from practice and come and talk to a nobody. But the genesis of the book really started somewhere in the last 10 years when Jimmy, in retirement — no, I don't think anybody's done retirement better than Jimmy. He went on Survivor. He's had a heart attack. He had, helped his son through alcohol problems. And then he also has all these coaches and general managers, not just in football, but in basketball, coming down to visit him in the Keys and talk about how do you find talent? How do you rank talent? How do you build a winning culture? And all, so his ideas are still — he still has something that all these people want. And I always wanted to do a book on what do they come down and talk to you about, and weave in his life story, his building of champions, the way he thought differently. And then why he decided he had to get off the mountain when it was time.
Well, I mean, so your first time around, I didn't think you were that old.
I'm very old.
I'm old, too. I was around in 84 or 85 as well, and made some friends back then that went on and did some stuff covering minor league hockey. So, I mean, but with Jimmy leaving, going to Dallas and coming back, and, I think of him in sort of retirement as the guy on television now. Like, I don't think even the kids remember the days of – I mean, we see Herschel Walker running for office, right? I mean, involved in the deal and the deal of the century and all that stuff that was going to change the Cowboys. And we see Troy Aikman, right, all the time on TV. But the Jimmy thing, as far as leadership and people visiting him, I even know about his fish tank, right? See, everybody knows about the fish tank. Everybody wants to come down to the Keys.
Yeah, well, you know what? It isn't just visiting. Look at his mark on the game. It's kind of fascinating. The draft value chart he created, where he plotted trades of draft picks for draft picks on an arc on a graph paper and assigned point value based on those trades.
It's almost like analytics. Watch out, right?
It really was. And they're still using that chart here. He had it for 5 years in Dallas by himself, roughly. And that was one of the, the drivers really behind him making all these trades. When he was started in Dallas, people didn't make trades on draft day. The Giants made one trade in 5 years when Jimmy was in Dallas, and that was with the Cowboys. So Jimmy made 55 trades when he was there. And it tells you he changed how general managers operate. Now they have something they can work with, a chart and that. And then he also changed the game as far as smaller and faster. You know, when think of the AFC East or the NFC East when he got there, Joe Gibbs Hogs, Bill Parcells, big Jumbo Elliott and those guys, Buddy Ryan, you know, he's famous for saying there's a place for a small guy in the game, but it's not in front of a big guy. This was a big old time man's conference, right? And Jimmy comes in, he's drafting these small players. I remember talking to Peter King and he said, when Jimmy got there and started taking these 225 to 30 pound linebackers and smaller defensive ends, everybody's look at the NFC East is going to crush them. What they didn't know is, no, Jimmy thought differently, and he brought in this speed element to football, and it changed how – that also changed how people thought in the game. So his ideas are still relevant today.
Oh, I made Ray Lewis, right? He was an undersized guy from your part of the world that fell down to the bottom of the first round. Yep. Dave Hyde is here, longtime columnist in South Florida. He's written a book called Swagger on Jimmy Johnson. It makes a perfect holiday gift for my buddy Dave Muir. Dave Muir is always been in love with Jimmy's hair. Is there any stories about Jimmy's hair in there?
Well, there's. I got to admit, because it was such a story when he was, I remember at UM, it was a constant story. People making fun of his hair and this and that. And then remember at the Super Bowl, you see it sometimes on NFL films, Emmitt Smith going up and when they win the Super Bowl, messing up his hair. So I stayed away from, I thought it played. It was a conversation piece, really, that Jimmy didn't mind because it kept away from some of his deeper thoughts. So no hair stories.
So I've been married 20 years. I've been covering sports before the Ravens threw me out about 8 weeks ago for 37 years. And I think over all of my lifetime, since I was 15 years old, covering sports at the newspaper, at the News American, my favorite people that I've met by far are coaches. My wife would tell you this, that the people I want to hang out with and go to their home and visit are coaches. Brian Billick has been my partner here for the better part of 15 years as well. And so for you to write about a coach and go spend time with a coach, but I think the one thing that very few of them have really mastered in my experience has been family and downtime. And certainly in some sports like baseball, where you're on the road and it's 10 days on the road and it's really weird hours. I had Barry Trotz on for an hour last week. We talked about hockey, and this is weird to him after 40 years watching the game on TV for the first time in his life. But Jimmy coming out in front of this and talking about this with you for the book, there's been a lot of media the last couple of weeks about time lost with family. Speak to that a little bit, because that's something obviously you led with it. It was something you wanted to explore.
Yeah, Jimmy said in part this book became an apology to his family, you know, for not spending time. I mean, some of the stories just blew me away. Think of this football coach. He's coached for 40 years. He started in high school, actually, then college, pros, all the games, all the games he went to. He never went to a game of either of his sons. His sons played, one went to Texas and played, was a safety at Texas, and the other played through high school, and he never saw them play. I mean, it's just staggering. He used to chuckle when he'd hear about another coach going for a family vacation or to visit family, because, okay, I'm going to get ahead of him. And it was only as he grew older and really in part standing over his mother's coffin when he was a Dolphin coach and he had a, like epiphany, like, what am I doing with my life? What is going on? And he staggered, collapsed, and his sons held him up. And he said, I got to get out of coaching. And he ended up being talked into staying one more year with the Dolphins. But, and then his problems with Chad. Chad was very successful working in finance in Dallas, and then he started losing everything. He started drinking. His boss told him either he's got to get help or he's going to be fired. Well, he eventually lost the job, lost a big house, lost his nice cars, and he was homeless in Dallas for several years, basically. And what they went through and how Jimmy helped Chad reclaim his life, really, after maybe a decade. Jimmy talks about he'd lie in bed at night crying over his son. And wondering, you know, and he, being a parent is a lifetime of second guessing almost at times. And his second guess was he wasn't around to recognize the problem. Maybe he didn't cause the problem or anything, but he didn't recognize it when at the start to help. And so, long story short, and now Chad started a substance abuse healing center in the west coast of Florida, and he started another one in Austin. So it's a very successful story. And why Jimmy says at this point, all the championships, everything he's been through, this is the happiest time of his life because, you know, he succeeded at a high level. He wanted to do that, but he didn't like the man he became when he was on top of that mountain. And to be that man, he had to get off it and spend time with his family.
You know, the one time I had him on, I remember it was right around that Survivor time. And we were talking about the Survivor thing. I mean, he is a hill charger, right? I mean, he didn't need to be doing that at 60, whatever the hell he was at the time. And he got sick as a dog, right? He said it was like the hardest thing he's ever done.
Yeah. Ron, his wife says, if you ever have that idea again, I'll drop you off on one of these little islands in the Keys for a weekend. And then I'll come pick you up on Monday and you'll say that's enough. So, yeah, no,
I've eaten enough lizards.
he talks about growing up in Port Arthur, Texas on the Gulf, wanting to be, you know, one of those wilderness guys. And of course, he went into coaching and that all went. But as soon as he got out of coaching, it was really within a month after he got out of coaching that he applied to be on Survivor. He was actually denied. They didn't take him. I don't know if they thought he was a joke or whatever. He came back on. He ran into the executive president of CBS in New York. They bumped into each other at Les Moonves. And he said, hey, Jimmy, I heard you wanted to be on Survivor. And he goes, yeah, I got turned down. He goes, you still want to be on? Well, a few strings were pulled. Jimmy was on. Now, he got delayed another year because when he went through all the health and stress tests, they found he had one artery completely blocked, one 70% blocked. He had to have heart surgery. So eventually he did go on Survivor, and he lasted about a week, as he said, the no food, the weather, and it was so cold that all these strangers were spooning together in their thatched huts, and it was just miserable. He said the Lombardi line, fear makes coward of us all, or fatigue makes coward of us all, and that was his life. I was so tired, I just wanted to get out of there.
Dave Hyde is here. He is not tired of good football here all of a sudden. One of my dearest friends in the world is a huge Miami Dolphins fan. So over the course of our relationship, I have not had a whole lot of happy text in his direction. Empty stadiums and all that stuff going down all the years down there. Now they put the bra on it and call it Hard Rock. It looks all Euro and all that. Finally, something representative going on there. And certainly the type of offense nobody wants to defense.
Yeah, it's shocking for us who have been around. You know, they've won one playoff game since Jimmy left. One playoff game. And it's crazy. They've been in like three playoffs. So most of the time around this year, I put an icon up on my Twitter account of Bill Murray and the Groundhog, because it's Groundhog's Day. It's the same season over and over and over of them disappointing and not making the playoffs.
Somewhere around 8-8, 9-7, you sometimes are 6-10 or like that, but right?
Exactly. And I don't think that icon's going up this year. They are, Mike McDaniel to me has come in, and people talk of changing the culture and doing this and doing that. He came in with a system from San Francisco, and he put his arm around Tua Tagovailoa and said, "You're my guy." And that changed the whole course of this franchise when he had his system and he coached up Tua to the point of Tua could be who the Dolphins drafted him to be and not who the guy he was the last 2 years, which he looked lost for 2 years. And so to me, the MVP is Mike McDaniel. He's come out of nowhere. The Dolphins were the only team to interview him, and he has to be up for coach of the year.
What about the owner down there and the Flores thing and like all? I mean, we got goofy ownership stuff going on around here, parts of the league, but down there, it's to me, it's always I've held my nose saying, The owner's interviewing the next head coach on some plane that somebody in the media is going to report about, like he did back when it was Harbaugh's brother was doing this. I do wonder whether the ownership there is good enough to get it done long term.
Well, maybe it was a positive when Steve Ross got suspended for tampering with Tom Brady. You know, if you look at the press release, there were two components to it. One was he was tampering. The other part was from the Brian Flores lawsuit that he was, how do we put this delicately so I don't get sued? He was offering money for his coach to lose games. Basically, he was game fixing. And Brian Flores said, no, I'm not going to do that. So,
well, they, yes. the media called it tanking for Tua, right? Like, there was a term for it, right?
Yeah, there's a way. We all know there's a way to tank, right? You play. They had Josh Rosen. They could have said, we're going with a young quarterback. Instead, they went with Ryan Fitzpatrick, the veteran who won him five games out of nowhere. Okay, there's ways to tank without, you know, being just ridiculously where you go up to the head coach and say, I'll give you $100,000 to lose games. Okay, and so they couldn't even tank properly. And last off, you know, last year at the trade deadline, they were – Steve Ross, the owner, was on the line with Deshaun Watson's lawyer trying to negotiate, say, have you made settlements with all the women? Because if they had, they were going to trade for him. But two held out, and he said, okay, I'm not going to do the deal unless they're all going. This is according to Deshaun Watson's lawyer. And then this offseason, they're trying to – they had Tom Brady and Sean Payton coming here. It was all done deal. I talked to assistants who were coming. They were looking for houses. And then Brian Flores, you know, put his lawsuit in, and that caused such unrest and uncertainty, really, about what's going to happen that Brady pulled out and Peyton pulled out. And so they get McDaniel, which turned out to be the greatest booby prize you could get if you're the Dolphins. Because, again, he's settled things. He's made things work here.
Are you a believer? I mean, certainly from my perspective, Lamar Jackson – is not signed here. And I know the tax rate. I know I've done a little search on the tax code of y'all down there in Florida. I think the concern would be Tampa or Miami, but the way Tua's playing, he's the quarterback there as far as I can tell. And I would say if the Ravens have to play anywhere on the road, the weather alone would be good for Lamar down there because Lamar doesn't like Buffalo weather.
Yeah, and that's, you know, there are questions with Tua left. He's answered, you know, a whole slew of them in the opening few months of the season. You know, when he look, he's number one in a lot of categories of passing. Tyreek Hill was just amazing, though. You know, and how he's opened up the passing offense for any quarterback. Look, Tua still has hurdles to go. If we're talking the huge contract, the Lamar Jackson type contract, can he play in weather? He's beat up on some bad defenses, which is part of any NFL quarterback winning. But he's going to play. He's going to step up a weight class. Can he do it? Lamar Jackson. Look, the Ravens aren't going to let him go out by next year. They're going to franchise tag him if that. But 2 years from now, if they don't get a deal done, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Be interesting to see if he plays under franchise tag after playing for half price this year. He's his own agent, right? I mean, you know, he's from your neck of the woods down there, right? I mean, he's a real South Florida kid.
He is. He grew up playing with the Pompano Beach Cowboys, an 8-year-old team and I've talked to the coaches there about Lamar and he grew up in that system and they were stunned. Nobody recruited him. You know, it's just an amazing story down here from college. Nobody recruited him. Lamar Thomas, the UM coach or UM receiver, former UM receiver. He was a coach at Louisville. He got a call from, some guy he knows down here, hey, you got to look at this Lamar Jackson guy. And he tried to get Bobby Petrino to look at him. We don't need a quarterback. We don't need a quarterback. So Lamar just took out, and we don't need a running quarterback. So Lamar made cut up of all his passes. And Bobby Petrino said, looked at him, he goes, you think we can get this guy? And so that's how Lamar Jackson ended up at Louisville. Miami didn't want him. Florida State. Well, Florida came in really late. And tried to get him. It was too late. But it's just amazing. His story is one. You go to the pros, nobody wanted him till the end of the first round. It's just staggering to me because I was pounding the table. In fact, in the Dolphin draft room that day, Ross said when a couple quarterbacks went early, do you think we should trade down, with the idea being maybe we should go after Lamar Jackson? And they said, no, we got our, and they got Minkah Fitzpatrick, great player, but Lamar Jackson changed the franchise.
Well, I remember being there, it feels like 5 minutes ago. We opened a season down there, and I got into an elevator. I was staying in Aventura, and there were three Dolphins fans, and they all had jerseys on of players that had just been drafted who weren't there, like Tunzel. Yeah. It was like three dudes had just bought new jerseys, and all the guys were gone, and it was like opening day. That's why I say about the ownership, and that's why I say, would they throw Tua over the side of the boat? That guy would throw anybody over the side of the boat, right? Like, well, literally.
We've had some awful chapters here. You had the Bullygate chapter, and that really comes down to leadership of an organization, keeping tabs on some players. You had the
Jimmy Buffett part. Remember that? Jimmy Buffett, Gloria Estefan. I remember all that, right? Looked like a really good press conference, as I remember it, right?
It's been a crazy 20 years, So, and the worst part is there's no reward of winning down here. And so finally, this is the year that out of nowhere, really, because no one saw this season coming for the Dolphins.
You had your reward. The Marlins won twice and moved it to Little Havana.
Hey, 2003. Come on, that was two decades ago. Unbelievably.
I thought about that a couple weeks ago. I had Tyler Kepner on. We're talking World Series. And I went to all the World Series games in the 90s. And I had to, do the math of, how many – it turned out I've been to 48 World Series games in my life. But I'm in Baltimore. We haven't played one here since 83, right? So I've been to all these games. And I thought, the last World Series game I was at was the Clemens game at Joe Robbie, when everybody thought it was the end for Clemens, everybody's taking pictures and all that stuff in the Yankees. I think he was still non-steroidal then, even, right?
They call that down here the Miguel Cabrera game, because Clemens knocked down Miguel Cabrera was 18 or 19, a rookie. He just came up at the end of the year, and Clemens just blew it right under his chin the first pitch, knocked him to the ground, and the next pitch Cabrera launched over left field wall. And so that's how they refer to that game down here. So it was, that was fun, but God, it was so long ago. And really, South Florida, only in the last 20 years, we've had the Heat. You had them winning in 2006 with Shaquille O'Neal and Dwayne Wade. Then the big three, they've been the franchise down here, and everybody else is just treading water.
Hey, man, I covered Dougie McClain when he was in Baltimore. So I remember rats coming on the ice down there as well.
Again, they made the play. They won a playoff series for the first time last spring since 1996, when Doug McClain and the Rats. That's a quarter century without a playoff series, or barely the playoffs. That's impossible in hockey, isn't it? So have some euphoria for us that the Dolphins are winning here.
I'll get back down to Sunrise if Springsteen shows up. Dave Hyde is here. He writes all things down in South Florida. Still writing his column, and has written a book, Swagger, on Jimmy Johnson. Imagine that. Which one of that title?
That's incredible. I wish I could say our publisher thought up the title, Brian Befiglio. It is a great title, and it just defines Jimmy, doesn't it? The way he coached, the way he didn't care how his players acted on the field. He let them dance. He let them celebrate because he wanted them to be him. And the way he, the subtitle is Super Bowls, Brass Balls, and Footballs. Because Brass Balls, during the NFC Championship game, he called into a radio talk show when they were hemming and hawing about who was going to win, him, Dallas or San Francisco. And he said, we're going to win the game. Put it in 3-inch headlines. We're going to win the game. And George Seifert in San Francisco said, well, he's got some balls. I don't know if they're paper mache or they're brass. And so after the Cowboys won, a friend of Jimmy sent him a box, a wooden box, and inside were two big brass balls. So it's down in his restaurant right now in Key Largo, the Big Chill. So, Swagger's a perfect title.
Jimmy's got a story for every occasion. I'm sure the book's a great read. Please check it out. Swagger, Super Bowls, Brass Balls, and Footballs, a memoir of a life well-lived. Jimmy Johnson. Dave Hyde is our guest. Hey, Dave, man, have a great holiday. Enjoy Thanksgiving, and Hey, save a little space down there. There's worse road trips. Listen, you want to go to Buffalo, Kansas City, or Miami in
Yeah, get on
January?
down here. Get on and remember to eat your cranberry for Thanksgiving, the best side dish.
Well, see, I'm an a la mode guy, so I have to have the ice cream on top of everything is the way I do it. And the most important thing is when stone crab is in season that we get to play down in
Absolutely.
Miami. I remember one
Absolutely.
time coming down in September and they said no stone crab. I remember Ozzie Newsome and I being very, very disappointed about that. So, Dave, take care of yourself. Thanks for coming on. Good luck with the
Tremendous.
book, all right?
It was fun. Thanks.
You got it. Swagger is the book. Dave Hyde is the guest. It is Thanksgiving time around here. We're giving thanks, helping serve some less fortunate folks on Wednesday with our friends at Goodwill in conjunction with our friends at Wise Markets. If you want to volunteer, throw me a note, nest@baltimorepositive.com. We'll get you down on Wednesday to help us out. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive.